Welcome to the 155th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. It's been about a week and a half since I put a podcast up. It's a little bit more of a delay. I usually try to get one out every week, life has gotten the road a little bit. Traveled to Asheville, North Carolina to run the Asheville Biltmore Half Marathon and Whole Marathon, and I'm excited to announce that I won my age group in the marathon. So that was exciting, a first for me. We ran the half marathon on Saturday, and the weather was perfect. Low 40s to low 50s, and then about the same temperature, maybe slightly warmer on Sunday. So it's a big change from last year when it snowed, and we had to wait for the snowplow to plow before we could start the whole marathon. I tried something different this year, which I think I'm going to keep doing now that it worked so well, but I ran 3 minutes and then walked 30 seconds. And that gave me, I could push my heart rate up a little bit during the runs, and then I would come back down on the walk. It also allowed me to kind of stretch out my legs, and I think it allowed me to keep my stride length increased, especially when we went on for the full marathon, because typically as the marathon progresses, you tend to have a shortened stride length, and just because you're starting to get a little stiff and your pace slows down, so even though you feel like you're moving faster, or you oftentimes aren't. So I think that that's one of the ways where it helped, and I just had a lot of energy. Yeah, even through the end, I felt like I could have went further. My nutrition was essentially the same, combination of Huma and Clif gels and just water, but that was really the only difference. Asheville's a great place to visit if you're plant-based. We had plant-based meals that were very nutritious, with lots of greens, beans, rice, Thai food, raw food. We even had a beet carrot juice at a juice bar the day before the full marathon. So it's a great place to travel if you're plant-based. Biltmore is a great place to run. The views were spectacular during the run. You could see the Blue Ridge Mountains. The first 6 miles were pretty, they ran from the kind of the base where the wineries are at the Biltmore, then you run up to the estates. So it's kind of a climb for the first 6 miles, and you run around the Biltmore, like the entrance, so you can see the Biltmore, and they take your picture in front of the Biltmore with their cameras. And then you go by their gardens, and then the farmlands, and then the full marathon goes back into their farmlands, the dairy, the vineyard. On the first half, I saw Clydesdales running in the field. We saw a flock of turkeys. The back half, we saw their pigs. Unfortunately, they were in fenced in, but some of them even ran with us a little bit. There were, you know, cows and the vineyards and, again, the mountains, and it was just a really beautiful, beautiful run. The backside was mostly on a dirt road, so that was kind of nice. Crowd support was great. The hospitality with the Biltmore people was great. I even saw a podcast listener, so a shout out to Hoppy Runner. She and her brother and her nephew met there to run the challenge as well, and they did both. Good luck to you all. Their next meetup is the Comrades Marathon in South Africa, so that was quite interesting to hear about. They've both done it before, so that was very exciting. So go Plant Strong Runners. So it was just a good weekend, and then we came back through and we picked up my daughter and her dog and her cat, and we traveled back to Florida. And it just so happens that we have Addie Delaney Minerich, my registered dietitian daughter, on the horn today, and we're going to do a recap of the 3rd annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference. So welcome, Addie.
Hi, well, thanks for having me again today.
Yeah, we just you took off yesterday with all the farm animals and your husband back to Atlanta and back to work. Addie is my registered dietitian and partner in crime, and she was one of the she gave one of the lectures at the conference, and her husband, who's a strength and conditioning coach, Nathan Minerich, he graciously, I'll put it this way. He graciously did the stretching routine and gave some strength training tips between each session. So we got people up and moving so they, you know, wouldn't get stiff and bored while they're between the lectures. Let's talk about the conference. And I guess what other way to talk about a conference with a registered dietitian is than to maybe start with the food, huh?
Yeah, that's my favorite place to start. I think, you know, we kind of laughed with people there and joked around that you can get whatever you'd like. So that was kind of a great thing about, you know, this conference was just the dining experience in and of itself. You know, you didn't have to worry about requesting no oil or watching, you know, anything salt may have been slipped into. And then, of course, you didn't have to alter anything because everything offered was whole food plant-based. So I think that that was something that was very much enjoyed by everyone there.
Yeah, so we started off breakfast with a tofu scramble and greens, and there was an oatmeal bar with fresh fruit, and so everybody enjoyed that.
A tofu scramble was great, and it was nice that you could customize everything, too.
Right. And so people enjoyed that, and we had... And then lunch was, again, a buffet with a variety of greens to choose from, rice and beans, some grilled tofu, grilled vegetables. It was in some, you know, different, obviously oil-free dressings. We had a beet ginger soup, and we had, it actually is Joel Furman's healthy chocolate cake recipe tweaked by one of the members, Anita Campion. So we now call it Mrs. Campion's healthy chocolate cake. So we had that and a apple crisp as well as, you know, fresh seasonal fruit. So it was great.
No, definitely. I think everybody really enjoyed it.
So... you know, and it was, again, a lot of people were just so happy that not to have to, you know, wonder what they're going to eat or if not answer any questions about what they were going to eat. There was no vegan police in the room, so it was fabulous. We also had Mama Says, and Mama Says, it's MAMASEZZ.com. She was there as a vendor, and she they have low salt, oil-free, sugar-free entrees and items to order online. So you could check out their website. And we had Richard's Food Emporium, which is our local health food store there to help us. And we had a Tower Garden vendor and in demonstration of what you can do with hydroponics, as well as she also has an addition of microgreens that you can grow on the Tower Garden now. And so that was good as far as, you know, starting things up right. We had some of our t-shirts and we had books from Timmarie Hagenberger, The Foodie Bar Way, and Doug Lau's Pleasure Trap, because they were also speakers at the conference.
Yeah, it was a nice little pre-conference expo that we had set up. You know, our office team, shout out to Don and Barb, did a great job kind of handling all that while we were getting in the back, getting ready for those speakers.
Yeah, I mean, it was all hands on deck. You know, we're a small operation. You know, my nurse, Don McMaster, and my front office in charge of everything other, Barbara Dill. We've worked together for years and years, and they are, you know, so gracious at helping us get things set up and just all hands on deck. But we pulled a few more hands in. We had a couple of members help us with the audio, and we did take some video, and we're and still processing those. So we hope to have some of those up on YouTube and perhaps the website in months to come. And share some of the lectures, but it's a group effort getting everything set up and rolling. And Twin Isles Country Club was very gracious in helping us get what we need. And, you know, shout out to actually my event planner, Linda Albert. Couldn't have done this without her and her husband. She did all the legwork, tracking down recipes and taking them to the chef and liaison between everybody and helping to promote this. So it was an all hands on deck effort, and it really came together this year. It's our third year. And, you know, the first year it went off fine. I was exhausted afterwards just from the stress of deciding to do a conference and pull it off solely without, you know, any help from the outside. And the second year we planned a little bit, but it was still pretty stressful and everything went off well. And, you know, we've had to train three chefs. We've had a different chef for each event. So that's a little stressful. We talk and we share recipes and we go over it and we eat at their restaurants, but you still never quite know because it's different cooking for plant-based people than it is the standard American diet restaurant goer. You know, one, the portion size need to be bigger for us plant-based people. You know, when you're eating greens and roasted vegetables and beans and rice, you need to have a fair amount of it. So I'm always worried that there's not going to be enough for people, but they more than, you know, showed up for that and did a very good job. So, just really pleased the way it went off. And I didn't feel as bad. I just kind of, the air this year was calm, relaxed, and everything's going to be okay. And maybe it's because we had Dr. Doug Lau, who's a psychologist there, that maybe he had a calming presence. I don't know. But I think it's really that the team is, we've got a great team and it's jiving and, we're ready to go again next year, right?
Exactly. We're very excited. I can't wait. We're kind of already starting to plan it out, brainstorm a little bit on things we love, things we could do a little bit better on. The food, of course, because, you know, what dietitian's main focus isn't on food. All I can say is, you know, it was a great conference, but it made me even more excited for next year.
So to kick things off with talking about the lectures, we'll kick things off with the first speaker, and that was you. And basically, it was being plant-based in all stages of life. And I commend you. I'm very proud. You happen to be my daughter, but you did a fabulous job of tying all stages of life together. Because oftentimes, you know, especially here in Florida, we have a lot of retired people, and the grandkids come down. That throws people off track. Even when kids come down, they say, "Okay, well, I don't need this way because I'm already healthy." And, you know, you drove home the message very well. This is not a way of eating for sick people. This is a way of eating to maintain health and promote wellness. And it is appropriate at all stages of life.
I think that was, you know, obviously the key there. I think, you know, like I said, on Saturday, nutrition doesn't really come to the forefront of a conversation until there's a problem or there's something we want to change. So I think, you know, having that be a big factor of our conversations in homes, when we're looking at, you know, meals, we're prepping for our families, for athletes, as well as, you know, all ages throughout the lifespan. So it's not just something that can come up to help fix something, but also just to promote an optimal health and wellness lifestyle. So I think that was, you know, my main focus. We kicked it off. I did a little viewing of a public service announcement actually sent out of Atlanta last year by Children's Healthcare of Atlanta on the connection with childhood nutrition to obesity and chronic lifestyle conditions later in life. And then, you know, we went through child nutrition into how adults can adopt this lifestyle, retirement. Then I touched a little bit on the athletic population, how this is, you know, an optimal way to fuel your body for your athletic performance. And then, you know, tied it all together with some how-to tips and tricks and some photos of some of our favorite meals here. It was great to be able to share that because I think it touched everybody in the room. I think we become very centered sometimes on, you know, if we're trying to change something, but realizing too that these health tips and tricks with plant-based nutrition, they can help a multitude of people within your little circle. So family, friends, your community, everybody can use a little bit of this.
Yeah, you know, we kind of started the conversation a little bit Friday night, you know, at the speaker's dinner, because it's, you know, plant-based nutrition can essentially eliminate your risk of cardiovascular disease and diabetes. I mean, adult onset diabetes, it's really a no-brainer. You eat plant-based and your risk of dying of heart attack is really diminished. But that's just one way that you can get sick. And, you know, cancer is the big one. And that doesn't start when you're 65 or 45. That can start at any time. And, you know, so to really be diligent and to eat the most nutrient dense at all stages of your life, that's kind of where you're aiming, is to prevent cancers and inflammatory and autoimmune type conditions. That, you know, it takes, that can get anybody at any time. And, it, you know, it's real important to remember that. You know, I'm pretty sure that most 20-year-olds don't think about heart attacks, you know, unless, you know, somebody in their family actually had a heart attack in their 30s. But most people don't think about that, and they don't think they could ever happen to them, and that their heart's strong. But these other diseases, they do happen at all stages of life, and it's really important, you know, for your family to eat healthy from the get-go.
Yeah, I think that was a great thing that I wanted to highlight too, is like, nobody is indestructible. Nobody is foolproof.
Yeah. And, you know, and the kids too, I mean, I know in our family, you know, my grandmother, I can remember them saying, you know, it's, you know, refer to baby fat, and, you know, people grow out of it. And, you know, even if children, you know, cause I, you know, have some cousins that I grew up with, and, you know, one cousin was skinny and one cousin was a little overweight, and they called him, you know, he had his baby fat. And the reality of it is, even if people, and he actually slimmed down in high school, but the reality of it is, if people get those fat cells, like you were talking at, you know, at an early age, those fat cells are there. And even if they, you know, manage to, you know, increase their activities in high school and have a growth spurt, and they still may very well have an excessive number of fat cells that cause them grief in later years. So it's, you know, just to rule that out as not an issue, I think is, you know, we're really kind of putting our head in the sand. But I really liked, you know, we can't, it's obviously not a good idea to talk about weight with kids. It's about healthy lifestyle.
Yeah. And so, you know, definitely, when I highlighted, if you are dealing with an overweight or, you know, even obese child to teen, adolescent, you know, our focus and, you know, what we're taught to do and what I promote is, you're not looking at weight loss for them. You're looking at, you know, maintaining weight and then making changes, like you said, in lifestyles. So activity, increases in activity, increases in conversational skills, improvements in relationships with food, and then nutrition choices.
Yeah, and it's certainly, you know, plant-based meals can be a source of family involvement. You know, Tim Marie's in her foodie pancake, you know, bars, and, you know, so you can have, you know, very delicious, exciting foods that the whole family can enjoy and prepare, and it be healthy. It doesn't have to be junk food that only causes happiness. You know, and I think that that's a huge point, that we've somehow, through marketing, made junk food our way, that's our treat, instead of healthy food our treat. So changing that focus is really important.
Agreed. And then, you know, back to that relationship with food, you know, even in that public service announcement and then examples that I showed, using it not as a reward, not as a punishment, as a source of nourishment. So it's not connected to a negative or positive action, or rather positive in either way. But then if we are, you know, doing something positive around food, that it not be food that's going to be negatively affecting your life. You know, if it's something positive that we're rewarding, we want to promote that positivity with something positive.
And then, you know, so when your talk was finished, then our strength and conditioning coach from Georgia State, who had a win in the first round of the NCAA basketball team, was there, and he got everybody up and fired up, and it was, the room was rocking, everybody was clapping and doing their stretches, and it was, I couldn't be happier with the way people participated. I mean, obviously Nathan's a great leader in activities, and that's what he does for a living, but people were so great to get up and try the different moves, and just had a great time with it. So that was really fun to watch, and I'm so glad he was able to be with us to do that, because you know, everybody just really, really enjoyed that. And so if with any luck at all, we might be able to get Nathan to be a speaker next year.
So, yeah, we'll have to try to get him booked.
And then yours truly, I talked about the gut microbe and how it relates to our health. And it's, you know, it's the gut microbes somewhat in its infancy. You know, when I was in medical school, we talked about how microbes cause disease, and it was all about pathology and how bacteria, you know, we had to diagnose which bacteria or fungus or virus or parasite was infecting people and how to stamp it out. It was all about eradicating bugs, and, you know, the tides have gradually turned, and, you know, microbes have been around us since the beginning of time, before we were here, and they've evolved with us, and they're part of us. And you know, it's more about how do we work with our microbes and select for the best microbe population that we can through our nutrition. And it's just not microbes. We just can't eat the good bacteria and our, like, take a pill and it'll be good. We know that probiotics are bacterial strains that aren't really native to our gut, so that they may have enzymes that are helpful in digestion and or healing, but they're certainly not part of our gut and most likely don't stay around long. We know that eating fiber tends to select out for a mycobacterium, I guess, ratio that is that favors health. A lot of bacterium that respond to fiber produce short chain fatty acids and different neurochemicals and neurotransmitters that can affect our mood, can affect our glucose and cholesterol production. But again, microbe without nutrients, and nutrients without microbes, and nutrients and microbes without the person and how they exercise or move around. So we're all in this together. And, you know, when we try to be very focused, this causes that, this causes this. But the reality of it is there's this all one big continuum that we have to interact together. But as far as obesity goes and obesity studies, we know certain bacteria might be greater than others. But again, what we eat really affects our microbes, and eating a healthy diet, plants, fruits, vegetables, is very, very healthy. Just not for decreasing inflammation that we are in control of, but that our microbes are in control of, because our microbes are in our gut. And for the majority, the ones we're talking about, and our gut is basically the command center for our immunity and our immune function. And so whether we get our immune system all fired up for the right or the wrong reasons is largely dependent on what we eat. So there's a great interaction between the two, and we're just starting to, I guess, you know, sort of just begin to understand all these different interactions as we are able to identify more microbes and identify more enzymes that they produce. So it's a fascinating area of study, and I look forward to more and more articles and more studies to come out of just how everything interacts. But I think it goes a long way to, you know, we just can't even, again, take it back to your talk. You know, at any stage of life, we're developing these microbes from the time we are born until the time we die, and it's very important to feed our children well, to establish a good microbiome and continue that through all stages of life.
Completely agreed. I thought it was fascinating. I mean, like you said, we're just getting into what we can learn from our gut microbe, and it was very cool to listen to you just dump that information out there and just share that with everybody. And I thought you did it in a really great way.
Oh, thank you. So, yep, we took a break for lunch, and then we brought our friend, our Sacramento nutrition professor.
No, we didn't. It was Doug Lyle next.
Oh, that's right. Oh, sorry, Tim Marie, go sit down. Yes, we brought still from Sacramento, Stockton area of California, from True North Health. We had Dr. Doug Lyle, and he gave us a fantastic lecture talking about the pleasure trap. And, very exciting and entertaining as always. Everyone was fascinated. They had an opportunity to have their book signed by Doug. And he just did a great job at kind of helping us to understand yet another aspect of nutrition mm-hmm. and health, and is how, our genetics play a role. And, and as humans, what we're trying to, why we choose what we choose. And some of the interesting points, as far as, again, beginning in childhood, chewing soft food, if we just give our children these bland diets of chicken nuggets and big French fries and sugary drinks, they don't learn to chew, and they don't develop their jaw, and that's part of early development. And of course, if we're rewarding with food, it's something that our brains really can't understand, these artificial foods. So we get these surges in dopamine that are way abnormal for food intake. And so just like cocaine, when you kind of need more, a narcotic, when you need more and more to get the same dopamine release, you end up needing more and more of these type of anti-foods, I'm going to call them, or non-whole foods, and it results in overeating and in our inability to shut these things off. Good news is, when you do turn them off, you can dial back the clock and get things back under control. But again, it's the importance of a whole food diet to really get our cravings under control.
Yes. No, I thought it was a great addition, and I thought it was great even for, people that we personally work with who were able to maybe be there, or, even if they can grab that book. I just think it is so applicable to not only nutrition but other aspects of life too, and just kind of, like you said, completing the picture with this optimal health and wellness and understanding our choices. And, once we can gain an understanding, help with, beneficial changes that we might want to be making.
Yeah. And, at True North, they do water fasting and juice fasting and reverse disease. And certainly, he and Dr. Goldhammer have a tremendous amount of success. And, we talk about eating good food and good choices, but, being mindful of what we eat and how much we eat is very important. Marketing would like to have us eat, every hour on the hour. And it gets to the point where, people are afraid to leave their house to go to the grocery store without having some sort of food in the car for fear they might get a hunger pain. And it revolves around, we need this constant feedback that, we're pleasure feedback that we're getting. And so it really adds another dimension in, our relationship with food and how best to tackle it. There was a great question from the audience asking about moderation with respect to, the pleasure trap. And, could you eat, say, let's just give donuts as a, can you have donuts once in a while, in moderation? Can you have something sugary junk food once in a while? And what does that do to, your neurochemical feedback? And, the reality of it is, once you reintroduce that food, you start that whole dopamine cycle again. So it is very difficult to, to control that. So there's not really much in the way of moderation that you can really get away with. And that's the ultimate dilemma with the human experience. We try to control things and we try to keep things in moderation, but the reality of it is, we're not a moderation species.
Agreed.
So then we had lunch, and then we brought our nutrition professor and adopted sister Timmarie Hagenberger on for her talk of how nutrition relates to brain health. And, you know, again, what we choose has a lot to do with, you know, Alzheimer's is a really scary thing. You know, I talk about it in my nutrition classes. If you have the APOE4 gene, you have 3 times the risk of Alzheimer's. If you have 2 of those genes, you have 9 times the risk of the general population of Alzheimer's. But if you're a Nigerian and have 2 of those genes, you usually have very low incidence of Alzheimer's because they eat a predominantly plant-based high-fiber diet. And so with, you know, our genetics and our nutrition are very closely related. But we also have a lot of toxins in our environment, aluminum, heavy metals. You know, people think that iron is great. You know, 1 a day vitamins plus iron, take your multivitamin, and all these minerals that are in these vitamins are somewhat toxic, and we don't need those vitamins if we're getting a healthy diet. And so those are, you know, some places that we can, you know, get some of these bad things out of our diet right away. So she, you know, had a pretty lengthy discussion on, you know, how we can keep our brain health the best we can by eating whole food plant-based. And, you know, part of brain health is vascular health. And just like for cardiovascular health, you know, this is easy to reverse if you just catch it in time before there's, you know, irreversible damage in the brain. But, you know, keep protecting your blood vessels by eliminating animal flesh and animal foods is really the best way to go about this. Yes, we had a great weekend. We had 3 German shepherds, 2 cats, and it was quite the zoo at my house. It was kind of vibrating after everybody left this morning a little bit, I think, the hum of everything. But it was a lot of fun to watch the dogs interact, and just like having 3 toddlers around for the most part.
Yeah, it was a family affair, that was for sure.
Yeah. So, and then you all did a cooking demonstration.
Yes, we did. And we did a lunch option, the Zuna salad instead of tuna out of Timmarie's Foodie Bar Way cookbook. Can be found on page 99 if you have a book. If not, I highly suggest you go snag one for yourself. But, you know, in the office, when I'm working with people, you know, it's very easy to kind of pick up on dinner options, get your go-to meals that way. But a lot of people ask me, what can I do for lunch? How can I add variety for lunch? Looking for lunch options that are portable, easy to make. And so this was kind of a great way to give an example of that.
Yeah, everybody liked that. It was really good. Luckily, we had some leftovers, so I actually had the leftover today with some sriracha over a bed of collards and bok choy, so that was really good. Y'all did a mayonnaise. How was the mayonnaise made?
It was the silken tofu base.
Yeah, it was very, very good. And so that's, you know, people often want to know, and that could be made into a salad dressing, mm-hmm. you know, with the variations. You could, you know, a nutritional yeast would make that more of a cheesy, creamy dressing, and some dill would make it the other direction. So there was a lot of use for that. So that was very good. And so, yeah, it was a great day. And then we did a question and answer session to wrap it all up. And people got to, you know, that's the beauty of being in an environment. We had about just a little under 90 people attending the conference. And actually, there's a little over 90 when you went all in the room. And but it's still a small enough area that nobody was far away. There wasn't a bad seat in the house, and everybody mm-hmm. could answer their question, get their questions answered. Anybody that wanted a book autographed could get their book autographed and speak with it and ask the speakers questions. There was plenty of time between talks for people to get their questions answered as well. Everybody was gracious and around during lunch so we could chat. The other great thing about the conference is that, you know, people that we had a set up and table so that people could get to know each other. And it was so, there were so many stories of how people just sat down with other people and there was a connection. You know, so it's always great to, you know, it's a small world when you think about it. And, you know, the plant-based world is a small world, and then it's even, you know, it's a small world in general. So there was so many stories about, you know, people that didn't sat down with people that they ultimately knew or knew had a mutual acquaintance. And I'd like to put a shout out to Teresa. I won't say her last name, but she is a member that came all the way from Washington State. And so we were so grateful to have her and to meet her in person and enjoyed visiting with her, even though she did call Addie Minnie me. But so I thought that was funny. She's a very perceptive person, I should say. But anyway, more or less, you know, if she was, it'd be scary if she was around us more, I think.
Yes.
But it was a great day. And we also did consults the day before that we didn't talk to and had a yoga session. And so it was nice to meet people before they came to the conference and talk with them. And I followed up with them the day of the conference, and they really enjoyed it. And we're glad they came over over for the consults and the conference. So we're really appreciative to everybody that came. And for all of you that listened to the podcast who, you know, came from out of town, again, thank you so much for supporting the conference. We hope to make it better and maybe even longer next year. You know, we're just kind of doing the, sitting down with each other and seeing what we could do better, what we could do differently. And so I'm, you know, we're going to get started early and hopefully have a great conference next year.
Can't wait.
So I guess what's next for us is we're headed to West Virginia.
Yes. Next week?
Next week, we're headed to West Virginia University, our alma mater, Go Mountaineers.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations on their basketball team as well, making it into the Sweet 16. And but we're up there for the nutrition conference, and I'll be speaking at that and share some views on plant-based nutrition and the practice of medicine. I'm really anxious because our practice model is different than most. Dr. Lyle was, you know, he was very pleased and taken aback as far as how much education we do in our office with plant-based nutrition. And it's just such a great way to practice. You know, you and I can tag team and support each other and support the patients and troubleshoot. And it really, really makes a difference to have support. We can get people off of their diabetic medication so much quicker by being there for them every day, not just, you know, four times a year. And it takes time because it's scary. It's scary when your blood pressure goes high. It's scary when your blood glucose goes high, what to do, how to troubleshoot. And, you know, that's what we're there for. The nutrition classes are, you know, we have different levels and people are learning something new every day. So it's, you know, it's a great way to practice. And I want to share that with West Virginia University because I think, you know, it would be great if every doctor's office had a registered dietitian. Not all doctors want to get into cooking and nutrition like I do. I'm passionate about it. But if at least if they had a plant-based registered dietitian in the office, I could get the ball rolling and get that in that part of the practice taken care of because none of these lifestyle diseases have to occur. They can really be largely prevented. But it takes a village to get things under control sometimes.
Yeah, and I think it's great too how we're able to not only share that support when they come and see us in the office or with their monthly consultations on the phone with me, but also those times in between, whether that be email contact every morning, texting you and I, you know, either blood glucose levels or foods eaten the day before or questions on recipes and, you know, kind of really becoming part of our members' lives and having them become part of ours and really getting to grow with one another and help them in the best way that suits them. So it becomes, you know, a broad idea of plant-based nutrition for optimal health and wellness, but then personalized to each individual on what their needs are and what their family needs are.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great team. Even the Facebook group has grown, and people are engaged and helping each other. And it was nice at the conference to go back to that. People that were Facebook friends from the practice who didn't necessarily go to nutrition classes met at the conference, and they were so excited to meet each other. So it was a great day. A shout out to a couple other members that were there that brought even, several of their family members. David, you know who you are. He's so excited to, we're so excited that he came and brought his, a lot of his family. And they're well on their way to becoming plant-based. So it just grows, the whole family of plant-based, healthy people can continue to grow. And, I thought Tim Reese said, she made a really good statement. She said that when she was up at the buffet line talking to people, she said, wouldn't it be nice if instead of when you go out to a restaurant and you had to say, can you hold the chicken? Can you hold the animal protein? Would it have to be so that if somebody came in and wanted animal protein, from outside, they would have to ask for it. And the norm would be plant-based eating all around. So that's our future.
Yeah, I love that.
So we're working on it. And, we're working on, getting quite the team to stamp out all these lifestyle diseases. So, look forward to West Virginia next week, and then it'll be off to Mendocino the end of the month for Michael and I to do the Mendocino 50K Ultra, which is plant-based, hosted by the Stanford Inn out there. So it's a vegan resort. So that'll be some more fun plant-based nutrition and more beautiful sceneries running through the redwoods and along the Pacific. So I'm looking forward to that. So I guess until next week, we'll sign off. And again, if you want to email Addie at drdelaney.com, drdoctorduleney, or I'm Jamie, Jami, at drdelaney.com. If you'd like to email us with questions, go to our website, drdelaney.com, to learn about the practice. And, if you would like to chat with us about the practice, you think you'd like to become a member, whether an online member or a full member, we'd be happy to talk to you. Just drop us an email and we'll get right back to you. Addie can do consultations as well. Check out your website, which is
naturallyrootednutrition.com.
And that's rooted, like R-O-O-T.
Yes.
Yes. And so check out her. She's on Instagram. I'm on Instagram. You can see what we eat. And obviously, we're on Facebook and Twitter. So I look forward to hearing from you. Until next week, eat the colors of the rainbow, get out and move your body, and remember that plant-based nutrition rocks for all stages of life.
Yes, ma'am. Mama knows best.
All right. All right. See ya.